Sunday with Miriam on RTE Radio 1. With Olay Total Effects Age-Defying Day Cream. Over 100 awards without paying hundreds of euros.
Now, let's introduce you to my next guest. 29-year-old Galway man Chris Sherlock has known what his dream job would be since childhood, but his path to a career in broadcasting has not been easy, as his life was rocked by personal tragedy. Profoundly bullied as a young teen, Chris was unable to complete formal education. Adrift in anxiety, he came close to ending his life, and then in 2015, he lost his beloved mother to cancer, and he became a full-time carer to his dad. But today, Chris Sherlock is a broadcaster with Flirt FM in Galway, still caring for his dad, but he also campaigns against bullying. And he's recently found time to contribute to a book called Mental Health for Millennials. His chapter is a really moving story of his own experience, and it's called CSI, a victim impact statement on being bullied at school. And Chris Sherlock joins me now. Morning, Chris.
Morning, Miriam. How are you?
I'm great. And yourself?
I'm all good. Thanks. Thanks for having me on the show.
No, I mean, that chapter is so excellent. But look, for my listeners, tell me a bit first about yourself and your background. Galway through and through?
That's for sure. Yeah, Galway man, pride of place.
And as well as your campaigning and weekly broadcasts on Flirt FM, I know you also care for your dad, don't you?
Yeah, that's correct. Yeah. Basically, my mum was a full-time carer for him before she passed away with her own illness with cancer. And he has a history from a very young age of heart problems. So he's had a heart attack at the age of just, I believe it was 27. So since then, he's been in and out of hospital, undergoing a series of the usual rigmarole tests and operations and stuff like that. So he's kind of had a rocky start to his life too. So he's getting there. He's doing well now at the minute, thankfully. You know, he gets out and does a bit of walking and does a few bits, and sure, he's the life of Riley with myself looking after him.
And you're great to do it. Listen, the role of full-time care, I know it's when you took over from your late mum, Teresa. What happened to her, Chris?
So it was a very short stint of things, because one day she just had this kind of pain in her side, and she went back to the doctor, got it checked out, and they went through a series of things what it possibly could be, and it turned out that she was admitted to hospital. They'd done a few tests, and after a few days it showed up that she had cancer, and it turned out that it was metastatic gallbladder cancer. So from the day she was diagnosed until the day she passed away, it was within all of 14 weeks. So there was a very short course of chemotherapy and the usual stuff that goes with trying to help cancer patients. Me and her were very, very close. We just had that mother-son bond, which I'm sure you have with your family, Miriam. And we did everything. You know, I used to go shopping with her. I used to do this, do that. And I've always said to her, you know, I'd love a career in broadcasting after the whole bullying story. And I thought I'd love to do what these guys on TV and on radio are able to do. And she says, well, she says, you were always talking when you were younger. She said, it was very hard to keep you quiet. So it was no surprise to her that I kind of went down that road. It seemed to have been in me from a young age. And she knew that, and she knew where my passions would lie. And the day she left us, it was a massive life turnaround. And I miss her to this day. I really do. But I know she's up there watching down and helping me in every way she can still. At first, I didn't relay information when I was going through bullying, but eventually when I did, it just came to the one particular morning where I had to tell her.
So tell us exactly what the bullying was like. Explain, I think the school year had only just begun, hadn't it? Explain what happened to you, Chris.
It was a transition into secondary school and new place, new teachers, etc. And I was finding my feet. I was a bit nervous. I was a shy guy growing up. I knew I'd have to make the extra effort to myself, but I was happy to do so. And in the process of doing all this, I started getting name calling. And after a couple of days, it just led to abuse in the sense that it got physical. I got my phone taken off me and flung across the area where I happened to be on this particular moment. I was called all sorts of names that I probably can't repeat on Sunday morning radio, but it was just the usual things. The taunts were there, and it led to me at one stage being thrown down a flight of stairs. And I just, for no reason at all, it was a thing that I never understood, you know, why me, but I think they just got the feeling that it was, he's quiet, we'll pick on him. And when I went to the school eventually later, I was told it was a part of just a first year beating.
God. And it happened, I think, was it the first 3 weeks of secondary school? It was just hell on earth for you.
Yeah. First few days was the name calling, etc. The first scenario happened to about just coming into the second week. And then the second scenario of the being thrown down the flight of stairs, that came, and that was kind of my final straw. Once that happened, I had to get medical attention, and I was left home for a few days. And then it came to me returning, going into the fourth week, and I just couldn't do it anymore. And I never went back to school since.
At all, Chris?
No, I couldn't do it. I did try, and I just couldn't do. Basically, what happened on that morning where I was going back into school, and what was to be the hope of a new week and a fresh start, I just couldn't take the bullying. And I had said nothing to my parents or anybody at this point, because when I was thrown down the flight of stairs, I had covered it up, and I had said to the teachers and to my parents that I was clumsy. I just fell down the stairs and tripped. The PTSD, what I know now, but I didn't know back then, was happening. I was having visions of what was going to happen again, what could possibly happen as well. I was just fearful every time I went into the school, and I thought, I can't take any more of this. I need to pull the brakes and say it. And when I did, I just burst out in hysterics, crying. I was trying to make sense, but eventually I calmed down. I told them what was going on, and we took action from there on in.
And what was that action?
After this, then it led me to talking to my GP, which referenced me onto a psychologist, and we just started talking out the whole scenario. It was a process that they looked at, that I had to get back to school soon. So they were trying to push things along. And there was times where I was talking and saying a bit, but I wasn't ready a lot of the time. It took me a long time to recover from this. It was what seemed a very fast pace, and it was too fast for me, which led me to the point that I said, you know what? I need to come out of this situation totally. And the only solution for this was to die, to end my life. And I went to the Galway Canal, and that was it. You know, my parents wouldn't have to worry. The bullies wouldn't be out to get me. I'd be fine. There'd be no more hassle. And my education wouldn't matter anymore because I'm not around. So that particular day, I walked by the canal, and it was by the luck that two of my friends from my estate saw me, and they came up over to me. They were walking home, and they just came up and said, do you fancy going back to our place playing video games? And that was it. It was that momentarily distraction that got me away from that. And other than that, I wouldn't be here today.
That's incredible, Chris. So the kindness of those two friends of yours, your neighbours, a simple human connection, it saved you from taking your own life. You believe that, don't you?
Yeah, 100%, because they didn't know what was going on. They knew I had been bullied. They heard, you know, a bit of the story, but they just didn't know the whole lot. And they didn't know what I was doing. They didn't ask what I was doing, but they just were themselves.
And I know you didn't go back to school. You left school permanently, didn't you? How did you get educated at home, Chris?
Yeah, so they said, what we'll do is we'll give you tuition, and you can do it at home in your own environment. You'll have a tutor that will come out to you. And I thought, well, this is great, because I wanted to learn. I wanted to get back into it. And the tutoring continued for a year. And then it was cut due to government cuts, sadly. If I wanted to continue, I would have to pay myself privately. And sadly, that wasn't going to be the case.
The essay you've written, Chris, it's so powerful. And was it important for you to write about this experience of bullying, both to tell people who've been bullied that they're not alone, and that maybe to say to people, this isn't good enough, this cannot be allowed to continue.
Yeah, the thing about it is, back then, we're talking around 2004, 2005, that end of the year, start of a new year transition. And there was no social media and stuff back then. So I was being bullied in school. I was getting physical abuse and I was getting taunts. And during that time, it was a part of just the school hours. Parents need to understand, in this new digital world of social media, it can happen 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, because anytime, any place, you can go on social media. And if there's a small comment to a big, huge comment, there's always something to be said, and they're nasty. People can be nasty and they hide behind keyboards and stuff like that. And everyone's entitled to their opinion, but not when it's harassment and bullying and just not being kind. And I just want that to be the awareness, and to let parents know, even work colleagues, you know, no matter who you are listening, always be aware of what you're going to say, because what you say can impact others hugely.
And now you're a broadcaster yourself, Chris, doing well on Flirt FM. That's a public career as well, though. It's interesting that someone you know who was so bullied and traumatised, that you love this job, though, don't you? Even though it's a public job.
Oh, yeah. Talk about throwing myself into the deep end. I love it. I absolutely love it. Like I said, I grew up watching loads of people on TV, and the radio on TV was always on in the house. Now, I know some parents listening might not agree with this, but I was there watching TV. I was left to my own devices, and it helped me hugely. Because of doing that, I found myself wanting to do broadcasting. So I have a huge passion for it, and I got the chance to study it and do my own career currently on Flirt, as you said. And I hope to further it big time in the future, and front radio and TV.
Sounds to me like you'd be great. And listen, to leave us with some advice, Chris, for anyone young or old who has experienced bullying or is still coping with it right now, what would you say to them?
Oh, talk to somebody. If you're going through this, the key thing is talk to someone. Reach out to someone. If they're not being themselves, it's important that you connect. Like I said earlier, a simple act of kindness helped me through and through. And if you are the victim of it, you mightn't be ready just yet to talk, and that's totally fine. Look into your hobbies, look into doing stuff that you love to give you that confidence to continue, keep on going, and talk when you're ready. Honestly, I was afraid to talk at first, but I was so glad I did.
Well, Chris Sherlock, it's been so lovely for me to speak to you this morning. I think you're going to have a great career in broadcasting. And of course, anyone can check out you at the moment on Flirt FM every Wednesday afternoon or wherever they get their podcasts. And also, that book to which you contributed is entitled Mental Health for Millennials, Volume 4, and it's published by Book Hub. Chris, thanks so much for speaking to us, and take very good care of yourself.
Thanks for having me, Miriam. Likewise.